Guy, are you listening? Are you listening? If you're not listening, then see your life. And of course, I've decided to redirect my podcast to a conversation on Afrobeats, the African genre dominating the global music scene. And as a fan or mshabiki in Swahili, you can expect to hear my take, interviews, and banter on all matters surrounding Afrobeats. And of course, you're listening to the Afro Banter Beats podcast with Bobby Nishimwe. And it is not banter, it is banter. Please, Guy, don't vex me now.
Making music?
No.
Are you putting your podcast?
Out for the album release.
For the album release.
I'm doing my Zane Lowe interview.
I just feel like you just have 10 friends that are just do everything,
which is why I utilize them as much as I can.
This is amazing. You have the podcast right there. You have the graphic artist.
Who shoots the video. I have somebody who produces and makes music. I have somebody who knows how to
See, that was great. It's picking up very well there.
Yeah.
This is a great picking up of. Great picking up of the sound.
Yeah. It's a long ass day.
It is a long ass day.
At some point in this afternoon, I sat down on my couch. I'm gonna
leave the house.
Yeah.
Jabari, you ate?
I did. It's all gonna get done.
It's gonna get done. I knew it was gonna be a week, and which is why I'm like, I said the video was gonna happen today. It happened today. I said I was gonna prepare my chicken. I hear back from the job. I did, right? While I was sitting there multitasking, I made sure my mom got on the phone. That was the one thing I wanted to make sure that she got, that she told you.
Who was she saying?
You know where he was about to be living?
Where?
125th in Lexington.
Is that around that area?
That.
Yeah.
The nigga said,
"Dang,
that'll do it."
Nigga said, 120 feet east.
I was on 125th in Lexington.
Yeah, it would be exciting. It would surely be exciting.
I'm not sure I'm looking for excitement.
Jabari,
kind of excitement.
He ain't gonna like the excitement we thinking of.
You used to be here, now you're gone. Near.
Okay, like, see how you're speaking like that? That's how I want you to speak throughout the whole interview.
You want me here then?
Well, I mean, you could be up here.
You used to be here, now you're gone. There.
You can be right here. You know, okay. We are, yeah.
Yes.
That's a,
yeah, and then, okay.
I don't know what that's in terms of
volume.
I don't know what to put that in.
What the unit is.
Yeah, I don't know what that shit is. I don't know what degree of volume that is.
Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Black Boy Infinity, a.k.a. Kinda Hard to Get Rid of Me, a.k.a. the Lyrical Doctor with the Remedy, and we are now tuned in to Afro Banta Beats.
We actually really are tuned into Afro Banta Beats.
Oh, shit. That was that? No.
No, we actually are. Well, everybody.
Oh, my God.
I got Black Boy Infinity on the pond.
Keep this out just in case. Feel free to, you don't gotta stay the whole thing as well.
If I'm allowed to, I'd love to.
You are allowed to be a part of it.
Okay, I'd love to.
So let's start it over.
But don't be too mellow in the voice.
We need to hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
My nigga said,
don't be too mellow.
We're gonna need to hear what you're saying.
Let me know if where you ready to kick it, Wolf, and I'll.
All right. Yeah, whenever y'all ready.
Are we both introducing ourselves?
No, you can go and introduce. I mean, shit, this your shit too.
This your show.
Not this your shit, dude. You
on. I'm gonna fly on the wall.
You know.
Okay. Hey, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Black Boy Infinity, a.k.a. Kinda Hard to Get Rid of Me, a.k.a. the Lyrical Doctor with the Remedy, and we are here with Afro Banta Beats.
Well, folks, that will do it. We do have Black Boy Infinity on the pod. Now, this is not the first time I've ever done an interview with you. I have done an interview with you in the past.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was before the rebranding. That was Bobby and Friends, which we still have a lot of love for Bobby and Friends. How could we not? That's where we started. You always got to remember
your
you started,
roots.
Your roots. You know what I mean? A lot of times people say, remember your roots, or think about the motherland. But on this pod, we think of the first initial pod that we ever did, and that was
Bobby and Friends.
Bobby and Friends. You're listening to Bobby and Friends.
It's all gone until it gone until it get very detrimental. Yeah.
But, man, I'm excited to have you on because today we actually, on this episode, you know, we're talking about it's a different interview than the last one that we did. We're really going to focus on sort of your music career, just sort of the start of it and what you currently have done. Sort of, I would say in the past year and a half.
Something like that. Yeah.
And just sort of where you're going with it. We also got Abe the Kid on here.
Bow, bow, bow. Make some noise.
What's up? What's up?
Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm in like a New York shop, barber shop or something. Because you know I'm definitely the new kid on the block.
Choose your shop. Is it a bodega or is it a barber shop or is it a park where we playing chess? Ooh, what's the vibe?
Yeah. Nah, bodega's a little too crazy.
Oh, we at the chess table right now.
We're at the chess table, and then we're gonna go to the barbershop eventually.
Okay, got it.
I love that. But how you doing? First of all, before we get started, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling a little tired. Yeah. No. I'm definitely feeling a little tired. Yeah. We are in final season as we're recording this right now too, and I'm running on Z, but I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling blessed and happy. I feel content. Yeah. That's where I feel. I feel like I'm at a place where I'm being intentional about shit, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not just like, oh, I'm intentional about shit. It's intentional. It's me being intentional, but me also being content with these decisions that I'm making.
Right.
And me being happy about them and me being at peace with them as I'm making them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know if that describes
it. That helps. What about you, Abe the Kid? How you feeling today, brother?
I'm feeling great. Yeah. It's been a pleasure to see this whole project from like just starting off sitting in a studio together.
Yeah.
And like, it's crazy. Just Dejon has vision, bro. Yeah. Dejon has like foresight, like he can see into the future type vision. Mm-hmm. So it's just been cool to see this all happen, to come together. Like, I'm just glad to be a part of the ride, to watch it. Yeah. Okay. For real.
And the project we're talking about, could you explain to them what that project is?
Yeah, so Unprovoked Promises releases on all platforms Friday the 13th. Guess who's playing Jay-Z?
Hey, movie.
Tuck yourself in, you better hold on to your teddy.
Is that when Kendrick releasing his album or?
Huh?
Yeah. Is it Kendrick releasing?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know that. With Kendrick.
I believe so.
I see the energy you own.
You know what's so crazy? When I released a year ago for Lucid Aspirations, that was the same day Nicki released her Rhea for Be Me Up Scotty.
Yeah.
Did you know that's so? And I didn't know that.
Yeah,
did Kendrick deadass release?
I'm telling you,
on that day.
Look, I'm sure he's releasing on the 13th.
Yeah, for sure.
Niggas always taking my shot. Damn.
I get what you mean though, because you know I remember the last episode, the last interview we did. Yeah. I think Adele had just released her shit.
Yeah.
And you know, I was telling him, I was like, when Adele drops her shit, anybody else fucking moves. Get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah.
And when Kendrick releases, you know, anybody else releasing shit around Kendrick.
I played myself.
But that speaks to your bravery, man, and your courage, how much you believe in yourself.
But you know what though? I wasn't gonna. Did you know? This was a very random decision too, because I knew I was gonna drop it soon. Like, of course it was dropping. Right. I knew, but I didn't realize like this shit is done. It's time to drop it. And I said, damn, when is gonna be the best time to drop it?
Right.
And I realized, I said, oh my God, why not next week? Like Friday the 13th. Like, of course, like Friday the 13th is an iconic date.
And it definitely is.
But I'm just like, just drop it next week. It's already ready. It's time to do it. If you don't do it now, you're just gonna keep waiting and pushing. And you have the pieces of the puzzle and it's time to create the jigsaw and put the jigsaw together.
Make the magic work.
It's time to make the magic work. And as you see, like you saw me, like all y'all seen like all of this, how quickly I was like, okay, well, boom. A listening party gotta be this day. Boom, this gotta be this day. Boom, we gotta do this day. I said, Camp Lazo, okay, boom, we gotta shoot a music video this day. All of that crunched into this week while still being a goddamn student in finals week as I'm about to leave out. Like, it's a lot. But how do I feel releasing the same day as Kendrick? Yeah, great minds.
Icons.
Great minds. They tend to think alike.
They sure do. You ain't never told all. But before we get to this project, I want to take you back a little bit. I want to take you back to the Lucid Aspirations days. And I say days like as if we're talking about a long time ago.
Oh, my God.
You know, that's what, 2020, 2021?
Yeah,
COVID. You're talking about deep inside of COVID.
Yeah.
That was your first project that you released.
Yeah.
What does Lucid Aspirations mean to you, or what did it mean to you for you to even put that as a title for this first project that you ever released?
Yeah, damn. I don't know. I don't know what it means, but I don't think I've thought about it even more recently to even have a very cohesive or like comprehensive answer of it.
Right.
But I will tell you the first thing that just now came to mind is dreams. Mm. I don't know why the first thing actually came to mind was dreams and nightmares. dreams, because like it's not just dreams, but dreams away from consciousness, really and truly. And it's just like, what's going on in my head when I'm not actively like moving around? Mm-hmm. And what are some of those thoughts in my head that are like effortless, not effortlessly, like subconsciously floating, mm-hmm. and things that I want to say that are on my chest that I either want for myself or want to like, things that I'm making sense of.
Right.
And so these are things that I want for myself to make sense of. It was more so a thing of just like, this was also the time in which I had started therapy. Mm-hmm. And so it was really a period of me actually using this as like the lucid aspirations. Right. Like, what do I want for myself? What are those dreams? What are these current things going on right now? And actually like, mm-hmm. so it could be like, oh yeah, like, there's songs where I'm popping my shit and like songs where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm really him, like blah, blah, blah. But there's also like the songs where I'm like, empathy. Like sometimes I think I need, and I'm over here talking about empathy and all of these things. I'm telling stories about like times where people did me crazy and all of these things where I had to learn like how to like fix up from that. Lucid aspirations, learning about talking about mental health and actually like making it look cool, but actually mm-hmm. like talking about these things, like, stop feeding into a lot of these things and step away from these things in a way where it's just like, live in these aspirations, make sense of these aspirations, even if they're dreams, mm-hmm. bring these dreams to life type things. So that's why I called it the Lucid Aspirations. Yeah. And that's why I think I made that the lead song of just like, we're so used to trying to be like, on go, on go, on go, but we don't get time to actively be present with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make that a thing of just like, forget, cliches is gonna sound like, step away from that status quo type shit of just like, oh, you gotta be like active on go type thing. Like, fuck what everybody's saying. Like, fuck what everybody's saying and fuck all the noise. Step away from the noise. And that's why I'm thinking about shit, what I'm about. It's a couple of people telling me that I should be proud. It's a couple of people telling me that I should be proud. I don't even remember my lyrics. But it's really just like me having conversations with myself of just like, this is not the way I feel or should feel or whatever the case is, but I don't feel like this. And I'm okay with saying this is what it is. These are lucid aspirations. Like, these are things I either want for myself, things that are like in my head with dreams or like things that are just going on. You can't control your dreams. And understanding that you can't control your dreams, these are the ways things should be. So I wanted to use that as the first basis to cover.
Right.
Did I know that was gonna be the date? Did I know that's what I wanted to make the debut? No. I just went into it and that's what it ended up being. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the track list, songs like Energy, songs like Best of Me, songs like Lucid Aspirations or The Interlude even, those songs are very personal to me and I don't big them up or even like them to listen to them as much mm-hmm. still because of how triggering they are. Mm-hmm. Like, there's songs that I haven't even listened to since I even released the shit because I didn't even want to like listen again. Of course, like when I first dropped it, but yeah. So that's Lucid Aspirations. I can't keep talking about it because then it's going to be like a whole like down the wormhole of like more about it. But that's how it came about. And that's pretty much along the lines of what Lucid Aspirations means and just the origin of that.
And you know what? I was listening to it and I could definitely get that feel of sort of like a person who, you know, is in therapy, sort of talking about mental health issues and sort of how you deal with all of that. Sort of listening to Lucid Aspirations, the biggest thing I was getting out of it was sort of looking for a way out.
Yeah.
How did you deal with the hardships that you're going through? Mm-hmm. There's a line that I mean, kept saying, my mind be on vacation. So sort of this, again, sort of, and I don't remember how the whole thing goes, but again, it's sort of like your mind and your mind is somewhere else. It's totally somewhere else.
In my delusions.
In your delusions. there ain't nothing wrong with being in delusions. Hello? As you always tell me, sometimes delusions are needed in this world from time. You know, there's a lot of shit that happens in the world. Delusions are important.
This album coming, we'll talk about that too.
Yeah. And the other one that I really love from that track, and we don't have to keep talking about this album, I actually want us to move on to this project that you're working on. Note to Self.
Yeah.
That one felt very personal.
It was. And
one of the things, it was like, sort of, how do you get out of your head and assuming that something is what is not? So basically, you think that something is something, specific, yeah. But actually is something totally different. You talk about caring for your mental peace, stopping yourself from getting involved in something that shouldn't be or that will end up being unhealthy for you. And so definitely I felt like those themes of sort of really taking care of your mental health were important and integral to that. But I also loved Green Light and Done It.
Really?
Yeah, because you know why I love them?
I hate those.
I know you did. I know you. I like Dunham over Green Light. I'll say that.
Me too.
Dunham, it sort of has a, you know what it was? It was like as if you were to take Busta Rhymes, Brooklyn, late 90s and early 2000s, yeah. And it incorporates some sort of, dance hall. Sort of Caribbean vibe to it.
I said that they be calling me.
Yeah.
Take the bizarre. Infinity, I'm cutting it up like scissor. Heavy on the icy, but niggas call me the blizzard. The weather and the end of the
I really loved it. And so I also love that versatility sort of in your projects and what you were doing as well. Summer Lime. That actually was the one I used to listen
that
to a lot.
That was my bob too.
I used to listen to Summer Lime a lot.
I was like,
I said, this one go ahead of us.
So, I mean, thinking about that and thinking about having worked in this first project, what was your mindset of going into this new project of Unprovoked Promises coming from that first project? Like, what was the mindset of going into it?
First off, after I finished up the first project, I left the first project saying, I'm not finna make music again. Like, I feel like every artist does that. But I said it from the place of, okay, this was fun, haha, I'm not gonna do this again. Like, oh, I got to live out one of my dreams, but cool, fun. I released the album in my like college career, whatever, cool. But I said, no, this runs deeper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Clearly, I'm good at this. And little backstory, my father, of course, like, he is big on music, used to be, well, still like produces, writes music, all of that stuff. And he always told us, like, he used to wonder, like, which one of his children is gonna take that on. And he was so surprised when growing up, because he realized none of us was, like, vocal about it. And so when he heard me even, like, sharing some of my stuff or, like, even getting comfortable with, like, showing him some stuff, he's like, it's always almost like a, oh, you're the chosen one.
Yeah, the chosen child.
He's like,
You are Simba.
He said it went to you. You know what I'm saying? He's like, oh, Terrence would talk about music, like he know his stuff, like blah, 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 like Gio know his stuff or whatever, but none of them like, you know, he's like, oh, you know your, but he heard Cynical when he heard like Cynical and songs like, hey, yo, I think that this is the first time I probably addressed it like a girl. He's like, wait, what? Like, this is actually you, like you wrote this, like blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? But I left the first project saying I didn't want to write music, I didn't want to create music no more because I feel like because a lot of, maybe the content that I was creating was very triggering, but I just also feel like I made it too much of a rush, especially with content that was very personal to me.
Right.
And because I made it too commercialized in the sense that because I was trying to rush to get it out, it didn't feel like me taking my time and being intentional with it
right. The
way I wanted it to be, especially because there were things that I felt like because I was rushing to get it out by this and rushing, which shout out to Jabari, who has helped me to like, shout out to Abe the Kid, who's helped me to get to the point of like, don't rush your craft. As much as I'm still struggling with it, but it got better over time of not rushing my craft, because he could tell you, I was trying to drop this shit back in January.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
And it was nowhere close to done.
Yeah.
Talking about some January. And here we are in May. And even in May, we still trying to like crunch it, but like
all the pieces together.
Yeah. You know, but even then, and so because, yeah. So I say that to say I didn't want to make music because I wanted to take a step back. I wanted to be like, okay, no, take a step back from this. You just did some very, like, for your first project, and it's not going to be the best. I didn't want it to be the best, but because I'm a perfectionist, I wanted it to sound top tier. I want everything to hit the way it hit.
Right.
By the time it dropped, I didn't want to hear anything else from it. I didn't want to hear it again. I didn't want to, like, you know, I promoted it after a few weeks, and stopped talking about it. And while everybody's commending me, and I'm getting paid for my first performance on Zoom and all of this, like, it's like, I'm tired of this album now. And it's just like, why did I feel that way? And it's like, shout out to Glenn for helping, like, you know, engineer, like, some of the songs on the album and stuff like that, who's helped me in that process of being comfortable with, like, no, just release your stuff, release it. But I got to a place where I was just like, the next time, if I ever do this again, it's gonna be with me being intentional. It's gonna be with me showing that I'm taking my time with my craft. It's gonna be with me showing that this, I gave y'all a very emotional, I came in very emotional and vulnerable, and it was nice and all of that, but now it's time to like up it up. Mm-hmm. Up it up, but up it up in a way where it's like, you're gonna see, I'm gonna open it up a bit more, but show y'all that in a versatile way. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, when we dropping this, I want y'all to see versatility in this.
Right.
Which is the one thing why every time I kept talking, you know, I think every time I kept making like songs, I said, you notice how this is not gonna sound like this. I say, this won't sound like this.
So versatility.
This is not gonna sound like, yeah. So versatility was the biggest thing. In this, I'll boil it down to three things and feel free to cut whatever you need to cut. Versatility, mm-hmm. The theme, Unprovoked Promises, so everything behind that, the storytelling of Unprovoked Promises, and fun. Mm-hmm. So what's that we got?
Versatility.
Versatility, Unprovoked, the storytelling and Unprovoked Promises, and fun. Mm-hmm. And it all came down to that. Mm-hmm. Fun and collaboration. So I'm gonna mix those two. Fun and collaboration. The best thing that I enjoyed the most about this is that I got to involve my friends as much as possible.
Yeah.
In every different scale, in as many scales as I could have. Mm.
And what is that sort of, and obviously Jabari, you're here as well, so you can chime in, sort of that creative and collaborative process of making this project of, and maybe you two are in the studio, sort of you do the recording, you do the vocals and everything, and then it comes for you to start mixing and putting it together. Like, how much creative agency were you giving to Abe the Kid on the mixing and then the engineering side and other people who helped to engineer, produce some of these songs for you? Versus you sort of saying, no, this is the way I want it to sound, this is what I want to do. How do you relinquish that creative agency from time to time when you're making a project like this?
He could actually speak on that because that was one of the biggest things that we had, that I had to overcome.
Yeah.
That he was kind of teach me in terms of like, you have to know, you have to be able to say what you want, don't want, what you're okay with, what you're not okay with not second guessing myself, with knowing, being intentional with decision making.
Right.
When it came to that creative autonomy and agency. But I'll let him speak on that because I think he actually has way more insight on that from his perspective.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It's like that was a period of time. Yeah. That was the trust that we built, mm-hmm. of like being in it, like doing this for so long. Mm-hmm. It was like, I don't even know. That was by the time that we were recording in my basement in Berlin. There was some point where I think it was low key just like trying to stop your language, because it's so easy to do something and be like, oh, that was bad, or like, fuck, or like to stop yourself midway and kind of be like, oh, I'm not doing something good. And it's just like, I remember I pulled the Jay-Z video. There's this great Jay-Z interview where he's just like, there's a knowing to artistry. Like, there's a knowing that what you're doing in the moment is correct and not second guessing it, and like having some reverence for this is what came out of the moment. And it's just like, that has stuck with me. Like, you have to have a knowing, and you don't want to say, like, you got to stop that part of your brain, because it's just such a involuntary voice.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is not good. Just stop yourself. But just like, nah, just trust yourself. And then once we get into the mixing stage, we find everything and everything will look good, but like, never stop yourself before it's even out.
So trust being an important sort of factor in y'all's relationship working on this project.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So sort of to get back into sort of the title of Unprovoked Promises.
Yeah.
Is someone making some unprovoked promises to you? I mean, what sparked this of like, yo, unprovoked promises. I got some shit to get on my motherfucking chest. You?
I think that's what it was. It really was. This was one of those finger pointing moments. And I said, every time I encountered an issue or scenario where I'm just like, you did me crazy, I gotta get you back. Yeah. It was a moment where I had to say, yo, charge it to the game, and this is the game that I wanted to play.
Yeah.
And so every time I kept entering these moments where I'm like, yo, you did me crazy, or yo, you playing with me like a fool, or like, yo, like, you just wasting my time, or yo, you just inconvenient, all of these things, where I should have done somebody like outwardly crazy, I had to restrain myself and charge it to the music and say, you overpromising, underperforming, stupid motherfucker. Getting too comfortable, left your problems for me to suffer.
Yeah.
I can't be sucker free if I can't get rid of the sucker.
Shit.
Like, it's really me using this. And I said, I'm gonna say everything. Actually, Bari, some of these stuff that when it came to some of these songs, it was one take. where I was just like, it literally came with like, yeah, no, like this is
what you I knew got. What you was about
I said, yo, like, yeah, I'm saying like, I got, it's like you did me crazy. And now it's like, it's Get Back. So it's like, when people listen to this, I want people to hear that. I want people to feel that, like, yo, like, damn, who did you, like, who validated for you to come on this and like spit, yeah. Like, you know, even if the song don't hit for you, I just want you to feel that energy and feel like, yeah, like, you know, you fucked up when you thought you could play me, but baby, the chances are very slim. Like, you know, it's like, I think what it is was just like, I used these moments for like, of course, therapy, but affirmation, right. In periods of affirmation, where I'm just sitting there and I'm like, yo, I'm about to make a collective thing, and this is not even gonna be to one person. This is gonna be for all of y'all. Y'all all come together and listen to this. And funny enough,
yeah.
They the same people that want to listen to this are asking when the shit gonna drop or like,
hold time, hold time, hold time.
I'm you coming.
Motherfucker.
You don't worry.
Hey, yo.
It's on the way.
Hey, yo, you open your fucking ears clearly.
Sit tight. I said, you don't worry. It's on the way. Sit tight. It's coming. But I really had to just like, to the point of the unprovoked promises, it came to that of just like, use this as my storytelling to just like say what's happening. Pulled yeah. up, right? Pulled up is so funny because I'm laughing with my friend. It's literally all I want people to know, for anybody who listens to this, I want everybody to know, I ain't never lied about no goddamn story that's in this shit. All of the stories in this is
some real shit you've been through.
All of it, down to like literally every line. When I say 10 o'clock hit my phone, you was giving me the drop. 10 o'clock, I'm texting you and you telling me pull up.
Yeah.
These are all things that's happening. And just even, I don't know how they just happened to rhyme, but they rhyme. 10 o'clock, hit my phone. And, was, yeah.
And pulled up, is that, you know, as I was listening, and first of all, you have, is it 15 songs that you're releasing?
I think it's how many songs? 10, around 10 songs-ish, 10 or 11 songs with like, yeah. That's excluding the interview, the interludes and the interlude and the skits.
Got it.
And,
then so you've already released some singles.
Yeah.
They're also going to be on the album.
Yeah.
I believe it's three of them. Polka featuring yeah. Abe the Kid, who's right here with us. Period. And Carlito.
Yeah. Shout out to Carlito.
And Camp Laszlo, as well as Bullseye.
And Bullseye.
And you know my favorite one out of those.
Yeah.
I mean Bullseye is my favorite.
Yeah.
Just because it has that drill. That you know what I mean?
He said that.
Sort of talking about those three, go in sort of order with Pulled Up.
Yeah.
It seemed like you were talking about sort of the ability for a person to be able to decline a link that they know they really should not be.
I knew damn well I wasted my time. And that was one of them where I'm literally, mind y'all. The first song I actually recorded for this whole project, if I'm being blunt and honest right now, was actually Ran Through. When I step, I need a band on the walkthrough. Too much on my body to make me feel like I'm ran through. Yeah, like, that was also one of just like, yo, it's too much on me for you to make me feel like you finna play me. Like, that was an affirmation song.
Right.
That was more of an affirmation song. Not as much storytelling, more affirmation like, yo, like, stop playing with me. Like, you see I'm top notch shit. Like, stop, you know? And that was back in June. And so, that was the first song. But Pulled Up happened back in, like, the experience itself happened back in, like, April, May.
Yeah.
And I got off of FaceTime after the link. It's, like, 3 a.m. And I'm on the phone with Tiki. And I'm like, yo, I'm laughing with them. I'm laughing with her. I'm like, yo, like, I said, imagine I make a song about this. I said, I'm going to make a song. But I'm not dead ass. I'm just laughing. I'm like, yo, I should make a song about this. She like, I bet you won't. I'm like, I'm not making no goddamn song about this. 2 nights later, what am I doing? 10 o'clock. Hit my phone. You was giving me the drop. Told me I got 30 minutes to pull up or not. I said, damn, who you rushing?
She said, half an hour.
Yeah, and I'm like, but that whole thing was literally, that whole verse was literally a whole, like, storytelling of that. And I said, damn, I said I was not going to make a song about this story. I said, I'm going to stop doing that. I did that the first time on my album, and I regretted it in a way when I made the song Energy. But I said, why would I regret that? This is my own experience.
I mean, and
it's my shit.
And that's the thing as a creative. I mean,
you know?
And you both can speak to this. It's like, you know, whatever experience you go through, it's yours.
It's
even
mine.
If you're experiencing with somebody else, with other people, you can speak about what you experienced from your side of things, right? And I think it's beautiful when sort of artists and you all sort of choose to share these very deep and at times very personal experiences you go through.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of us who like, nah, you know, that's never gonna get out. You know, the FBI ain't gonna be able to get that information out of
me. Yeah, yeah.
But the beauty is that you sort of as artists, y'all really have this level of vulnerability to just get those experiences out.
Let me say, you're never gonna know who it is. You're never gonna know who it is. That's the fun thing about it. That's why I'm like, people won't ever know. People are swearing this is like made up, like I'm saying, and I could do that. I could do that a fiction, I could do a nice realistic story. story telling or whatever. Yeah. These are real life examples, and Pulled Up was one of them. And that's why even when I'm recording with Jabari as well too, like, I'm like, yo, this actually happened, like, funny enough, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and shout out to Abe, let's use this moment to talk about how Abe wrote his shit right then and there and recorded that same time. Yeah, legendary shit. What y'all know about that?
I ain't gonna hold y'all. I was telling me the other day, you be giving us that giving a sound in there sometime.
Yeah.
I told you, I said, Abe, be giving us that giving a sound in there.
I hate doing things wrong. I can't stay too long, to be honest. Yeah.
So how do you go, you know, when you go on a feature like this, right? And, yeah, and you know him, he's just spitting the whole time. And but you decide to make yours a little bit more like a singing aspect. Was that like intentional? Because I mean, you also rap, so.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go in features like this, especially this one, when do you decide whether you're gonna sing or you're gonna rap?
Yeah, I feel like it just follows the energy that feels right when it's going. Like, it's nice to have different moments in a song that break into different, that, like, it just keeps the air.
Right.
It keeps the air active. So that's just like, I feel like a stylistic choice always. But that, it was literally like I was literally getting iPhone texts in that session. Like, it was just as Desjardins. Like, I feel like that's, it's crazy that this song is like, Pulled Up is so cool. Cause it's one of those things where it's like the idea of it just like hits immediately.
Yeah.
And you like immediately know the story.
Came looking for a good time.
Why you not
telling me that you good vibes?
Yeah.
Damn, I knew I probably should have declined.
Yeah.
How the hell we getting low if we get high?
Yeah.
That's great. You feel me? This is shit people can relate.
Amazing.
And I said, like, yo, this is stuff like somebody gotta relate to. Somebody, I said, I'm not looking for this. I've never been the one to look for like the whole crowd to relate to it. If they do, amazing. I appreciate that. One person gotta relate.
But that's the way our personal experiences are actually, in a lot of ways, they're not isolated events.
Not quite, no, yeah.
They're not isolated. I mean, everything that we experience has happened under the sun. Everything under the sun has taken place in the past.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that is the thing about music, is that you go through something that's so personal to you, and the whole time you're thinking either maybe I'm crazy or like, damn, like, it's too embarrassing to talk about this because I don't think anybody else has.
For sure.
But the minute somebody says, oh, I went through it, others like, yeah, I've been through that shit myself.
Yeah.
And that is so beautiful. And then we go to, let's touch on Bullseye first before get to the other one. Bullseye, you know, I think that is the first one you had me listen to.
Yeah.
Off this project. And I remember the first time I think about it, was Fax and I were there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is fire. I was like, this is different.
Yeah.
And so obviously you're from Brooklyn. That's where you're born and raised.
Yeah.
But you also have Jamaican and Nigerian descent, which, again, as we've said in the past, what a crazy ass combination.
Yeah.
I think the United Nations should not allow that kind of combination. But sort of growing up in Brooklyn, you know, sort of in the past few years, we've seen people like, you know, Pop Smoke, Rest in Peace, as well as Favio, and a whole new generation of sort of like New York rappers who are now drill scene.
Yeah.
How has that in any way, shape, or form impacted sort of your approach to Bullseye, if at all?
It definitely plays like the biggest impact, because if anything, I wanted to use this song. There's multiple reasons why I wanted to make this song. One, for affirmation of just like, I'm that nigga type shit.
Yeah.
And that's just a New York vibe. That's always been the New York thing of like, oh, I'm gonna pop my shit. Like, I'm really him. Mm-hmm. Like, and here's why I'm him. It's like a three-pronged essay of like, I'm him, and I'm gonna tell you why I'm him. And that's a New York thing generally. So I wanted to pay back to not just that of that affirmation, but also the second aspect as well too, of just like paying respect to some of these greats as well too that are like trailblazers. Rest in peace to Pop Smoke, who, you know what I'm saying, like, helped continue to put communities like Canarsie, shout out to the Floss, on the map. You know what I'm saying, because there's so much like talent, and it's not even that it's hidden, because I hate sometimes when people say hidden talent. Like, the talent is there, it's not hidden, it's there, it's just there. It's just not at the scale of like that commercialized aspect the way it is. Y'all didn't get to touch that. Y'all didn't get to see the influence yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not hidden whatsoever. And I love that about it, because when people say underground, I don't know what it is with underground elsewhere, but underground for New York is really like one of the hyped up things, because underground is actually famous as hell in New York, right? Before you even go commercialized, because these are people you go to school with and all of that stuff. Like, anyways, so I wanted to really just pay ode to like respect to the trailblazers that's like doing their thing and like putting off of Brooklyn and like showing up and like keeping, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, as much as people will say, like, oh, like, nah, New York ain't really been having, though, like, that a lot. I'm like, nah, there's some stuff here. And so I just wanted to use that. And then for me, I have yet to do a drill song. I was never imagining myself to do a drill song. And the same way I told Jabari a number of times, I was like, this is not me. This is not me. And the reason I kept saying this is not me is because, not to say, like, people have this misconception that drill has to be you talking about, like, ending somebody's life, or, like, not even just, and it has to be beef in order for it to be drill. Like, I could be talking all of this, but I'm literally just not, I'm talking to,
it's just how you're
void. Like, this is just a, like, you know what I'm saying? It's, you always gonna big up yourself like that.
Right.
But you never gonna make it a thing of, like, oh, this is actively, like, so it's like, people swear drill gotta be, like,
it has to be, it has to be attached to some sort of criminality or
exactly,
or actual criminalized, or as something active going on the street.
The ways in which, like, drill gets vilified, and I get the implications that it has in terms of just, like, how it's trickled down into different, like, instances of violence across communities, but that's the same way in which, like, other communities have different ways in which they instill violence through whatever tools. So that could be said about anything.
But I mean, Hollywood has some of the wildest,
Hollywood has the most, one of the most
violent, you know.
And so I wanted to use this moment to be like, well, for one, not only am I gonna push back by saying, like, drill does not have to be me having a beef with a specific person or a group or something like that. It could literally just me being like, having that hype shit of like, yeah, like, you wanna feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna pop my shit, but it's gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna pop my shit in a way where it's like, it's aggressive. Like, it's that assertive, like, you know what I'm saying? That affirmation, not all affirmation has to be soft-hearted and hugging cool.
Right.
The affirmation can make you feel like, yeah, like, what up? Like, it's, you know, I'm him. Like, I'm gonna show you, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, so that's the vibe I wanted to give in that. You know what I'm saying?
That's great.
You know?
So, and you talk about loyalty and sort of
all of this,
friendship,
yeah.
To down to the core.
What's the, steady on pace, that's no lie, he ain't one of them, make room when he come by. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm him, make room when he, steady on pace, that's no lie, he ain't one of them, make room when he come. Always on point like bullseye, 10 toes down to the code that I die by. 10 toes down, I stand down to like my integrity, like my code, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I stand real to like all the stuff that I stand by. And people who know me can attest to that. 10 toes down to the code that I, and I keep it all real, no sci-fi. I still wouldn't win if I gave you the retry, because I missed no shots like drive-by, dash, or swish, internet, like Wi-Fi, internet, like, you know what I'm saying? Who really real it? I can't fake this, no lie. Like, I'm really like, who's, you know what I'm saying? Who better than me? Like, of course, there's people who I'm like, the greats and all that. You can exist with the greats while I still say,
but you gotta big up yourself. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You gotta affirm yourself the same way while still having respect. And so I'm gonna have to use that as a moment to do that.
And also, thank you for incorporating some historical hip hop events in this as
Shine.
Well.
He loved the Shine line.
I really love the Shine line about Diddy, whatever, with them in the club. We won't get too much into it. You gotta listen to it to hear it yourself. But I remember we were actually in the studio.
Yeah.
And he's rapping. And so I was in the studio, and Abe the Kid is here producing and doing the engineering. And Black Boy Infinity is here rapping. I'm just sitting sort of in the corner, you know, like, you know, what do they call it? A bee on the wall, whatever. Fly on the wall.
He took it. Yeah,
that's a bit violent. I want violence.
I want to violence.
And he just said this line, and I was like, yo, did you just say this? I really know what you're talking about. And that is beautiful when you can sort of incorporate some of those very integral events in hip hop history.
Mm-hmm.
But on to sort of the other song that you've released, Camp Lazlo, which would I be right to say that that's probably your most popular release song that you've had so far?
And I'm not going to say, I don't want to sound arrogant when I say this, but I knew it was gonna be the commercial song.
Yeah.
I knew it was gonna be the song where if there's anything that jumps on my streaming right now, it's gonna be that.
Yeah.
Because I knew that it's a sound right now that everybody, I don't know. The way I saw it was just like, and first of all, the way Camp Lazlo sounds right now is not the way it initially sounded. First off, Abe can attest to this, I didn't initially have the B-L-A-C-K. That was never in it.
Yeah.
You remember?
I forgot that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was me trying it out one time. And I said, wait.
Yeah.
And it stuck.
I do remember that.
You might have done something.
And I said, wait, hold on. Let's do that again. B-L-A-C-K. I was mumbling it at first. And I said, okay, let's run it. And then, you know what I'm saying? It was only a one thing at first. And then it became like, okay, no, like, let's make this a thing. Right. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I knew it was gonna be, I knew it was gonna have that commercial kind of effect where I'm just like, this is something that people could dance to. It's me spitting real shit, but it's still something that's still easy for people to like catch on to. Like, if there's something that's gonna stick, it's gonna be a catchy hook, of course.
Yeah.
And what I knew was that the B-L-A-C-K to the B-O-I part. Shout out to Love, because Love was the one who said, you need to repeat it again. It has to be something that's like incorporated throughout the song. Yeah. And me and Jabari was sitting there like, yo, how are we gonna work that in there? Like, no, it just has to be, when we over here philosophically construct the ways in which like it should only be like one time, because then that'll make people re-listen. Yeah.
Right.
But like, and then we came down to like, no, like we gotta repeat it. And we found a way in which we were able to make it work.
Right, for sure.
And all
well,
of that.
Shout out to Love for that.
Yeah.
But that's love. That. I mean, that is the beauty of this project, and I've seen you all work on it for months of the back and forth of you know, redoing some of the songs and all this stuff. And
yeah.
But again, like you were saying, incorporating your friends, incorporating the people that you know are gonna be sort of consuming this music. And talking about incorporating sort of people that can be consuming this music, you've had a lot of performances on campus this year.
Yeah.
What's that experience been like of actually being either on stage or just being at various venues and in various student circles on campus and performing? And obviously, you also perform at sort of the two of the biggest Black cultural events on campus, Diamante and Ibiza.
Yeah.
So sort of take us through that process. Just your first ever performance.
Yeah.
What was that like? Were you nervous? Were you scared?
Hell yeah.
And then to where sort of the bigger performances you've had now, what that experience has been like. But also, I mean, when you walk around campus, and we've done it, we work together, and somebody's like, yo, Black Boy Infinity! You know, and I almost feel like, you know, I'm gonna be, you know, hey, back up, get back away.
Oh
get
my
in.
God.
But just the reaction, just the reaction that you're also getting from the larger student population and other people who just happen to be on campus who don't even go here. What has performances done for you and your artistic development as Black Boy Infinity while also working on this project?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna leave that some of this for y'all to answer from the outside perspective, because I think y'all got some insight on looking on the outside of what it is to see me from there. But to the first, I think I didn't imagine myself being this like interactive, engaging, all of these things like on stage and like going ham with making sure that the energy and all of that. I thought I was gonna, the way I've been making music, and especially from the music that I was creating from Lucid Aspirations, I thought the vibe of me rapping was gonna be very like, sit down, thinking about shit, what I'm about, it's a couple, I thought I was gone. And then I had to say, and I think that's the thing about, I said, no, like, I'm not, like, yes, I could be that, but I said, like, I want people to know that there's something inside of me,
right.
Almost like, and I'm like, I have it in me to do that. And
the
I want y'all to.
In you.
Yeah. And I got that from my parents and from those around me, some of the greats that I've seen. And I want to channel that.
Mm.
And this whole thing would be intentional. I said, I want y'all to see that. And so that's later down the line. But initially, when I got, I think the first time I fully performed, like for a Georgetown show, period, was actually for one of the big, another big cultural event here for. Hosted by the Black Student Alliance for Visions, I did a commission show, my first ever show, and it was paid too. Like that, this shit is actually crazy. First of all, and I'm like, yo, I don't, y'all trust my craft that much to pay me on my first performance on Zoom. In a house that I just moved in, no equipment, no nothing. I just got a mic plugged in.
Yeah,
I said, you just raw dogging it.
Man,
really?
Like, I'm over here like with no rubber. I'm like, y'all must have a lot of trust in me that I clearly just didn't see.
I told you was ahead of the curve because they might be canceling them rubbers. So you was like,
I said,
ahead of the curve of doing
I
that.
I said, yo, I cannot believe that I am doing that, but I did that and it went good. It was calm. It was nice. It was a nice thing with everybody to bob to. Was that ideal for my first performance? No, but I love the chaos of it all. I enjoy the chaos of doing it. Fast forward, September to me doing my first ever like in-person performance on the lawn. Nervous as hell.
Yeah.
Right. Shout out to JD if JD ever listens to this. JD was the one who really got me to get up there. Shout out to Fatu as well too, because Fatu, everybody, if you know me, you have to know Fatu. There's no way around that. Fatu literally kept talking me and she's like, you gotta do this.
Right.
It has to be done. Like, just do it. Like, just do it. Like, people are asking, like, are you gonna do it? And I'm like, no, like, I can't, I don't know. And people are asking. I'm like, I ain't promote my stuff in so long. Like, no, I don't, you know. And I just did it. And it was, I was I realized, I always tell the story about my legs because I was so nervous because, like I said, my vibe had always, I was very a bit more reserved when it came to performing, and I knew that was not me. I was over here shaking, like my legs would shake. That's how anxious, people don't know, like I have, my anxiety can be as bad as it becomes debilitating to the point where I can freeze up and not move type shit, which is why, so people won't know, but that's why I'm like, part of the reason why I'm as interactive now, I ain't gonna stand still because first off, if I stand too still, I'm gonna be too mindful of like, oh my God, I'm performing right now. But really and truly, like I was so nervous. It was nerve wracking. And I think I did good, but I was just also very hard on myself because I said, this was not, you know? And of course that's my first time. So of course it's gonna be like that. And I did a number of songs, but I had to start walking. After the first song where I was standing there and my leg was shaking, I had to keep walking just so I can like become more comfortable physically and acclimate myself to the idea of me actually performing. You know, and ever since I did more, like more and more performances, like smaller group events or smaller campus events like that, engaging with people was fun and all that. But as I started working on this project more and more, I said, I'm creating a project that is meant to like get people to engage with me. So when I was making Bullseye, I was intentional. What did I tell you? I said, this is gonna be a song that I'm gonna perform.
I
said, for Camp Lazlo, this will be a song I perform. I know that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's songs on there I know was meant to be performed, and I'm gonna get there. And at some point, Jabari told me something very insightful too, about like, gave me pointers on when it came to just like, interacting with a crowd, but like, having control over the crowd. Like, a crowd will do what you want. Like, you control what the vibe is. You curate the vibe.
You're,
you
know what
I'm
saying?
You facilitate. And I'm just like, it is my stage. He's like, when you get on there, it's your stage. So if you, whatever like type of thing, they're gonna follow your flow or whatever type thing. So I can, it can be, even if the crowd doesn't wanna follow, I just wanna know that I'm there.
For real.
So now, fast forward to where I'm at, I'm now doing like Ibiza or doing like, hosting showcases where I'm like, you know, trying out songs like that and everything and getting everybody hyped up. I like to say this, and it may, I'm gonna change, I have to reframe how I think about this and say this, but I dissociate. When I perform, I'm not there when I perform.
Right.
And of course, like, I think when I say that, it's because I don't, when I'm too much in my head, that's when I start get overthinking, and that's when I'm whatever. So that's why when it's time to perform, pass me the mic and let me just jump on, and I don't click out. So sorry, that's why I ask everybody, how was it afterwards? Because I literally
don't
be there.
You're not. You're
when
not
I there. Said it's time to put on a show, it's game time. So I'm not there to be sitting here overthinking right now. It's time when I get out there, it's gonna be a thing. Like, so that's why when I go out there, I don't go out there with just like the thoughts of my. I go out there like, yo, 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 yo. When I say outside, y'all say, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I go out there and, like, you gonna think I done this before. That's what it's always gonna be the vibe. I'm gonna move around, I'm gonna assess my space, and I'm gonna see what's the space to make sure I can take control of the space. And that's what I do when I go out there now, because I'm just like, I took that word heavily and took that so close to me, and just like, I curated. And people will follow with it as it is. People probably won't even hear the words or understand the words, but you're gonna feel this vibe.
You sure will.
And that's what it was. And so I think from there, more and more people, that's why with Camp Lazlo and stuff like that, I'm like, all right, y'all are a part of the performance. I bring people into the performance. I bring people to make them feel
and
like
the utilization of a live band as well. I love the incorporation of all of
I want sort of everybody, that's why I said collaboration is the biggest thing. One of the biggest things in terms of like, y'all are all playing a role in this art, whether you are the viewer, whether you are taking this in, whether you are interpreting, whether you are all playing a part. And so I emphasize that in every one of my performances, even now, where I'm just like, so when I say da da da, y'all say, and doing that call and response or just going around the audience and being around people and getting hype with them and all that, that's all a part of it, because that's engagement of me not only interacting with everybody, but also me just like, also me just performing it in a way that's like, this engagement, you're gonna remember this engagement. And I want you to remember this moment. And so I make it to where it's a memorable moment and not a moment you just speed past or just be like, oh, okay, that was cute, nice, moving along. No, and you could do that, that's also fine, but it's gonna stick with somebody. So like I said, it starts with just let me get one person going and boom, that's gonna be that. So when I'm there and I'm seeing a crowd just go like, sing along, or like when I say, and you, all you hear is Infinity still couldn't. I'm like, damn. know what I'm saying? And it's so crazy too to see the impact afterwards, where I could be walking around campus, people I don't know, people I've never met, and it's so beautiful of a moment. It's overwhelming still because I'm still trying to get used to it.
Right.
But being able to walk around now and people only talk about people who I've been in classes with all semester, who haven't spoken to me all semester, who came up to me now and will talk to me and be like, yo, I know this is so random. We haven't spoken all semester like that a lot, but I just want you to know how much like that. You hosted this. And I sit there like that is crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Beautiful. And I sit there and I make it, and I don't make it an experience where I'm just like, oh, thank you, means a lot. I sit there and I engage with people after. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what's your name? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, like, what's your name? And I am intentional when I meet people afterwards, because I want people, it starts with that niche group. You know what I'm saying? And if I can have that niche group of fans, that's a lot I care about. And it's not even, I don't like the term fans. I like community. Mm-hmm. I like the community of it. And I'm building that community.
People celebrate your art.
It's me building that community. So when people see me on campus and they do that, I can't, even if I am, I'm still trying to get used to being more socially like interactive with people, because I'm still like, you know what I'm saying, trying to get comfortable with it. But I make sure you feel like welcome to my space. People who I haven't seen since freshman year who's singing my stuff, people who texting me, hitting me up, people who go to different schools, people who are like all of these things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, like, this is so crazy, because a few months ago I barely was performing anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I barely, like, people wasn't knowing, but I was like, you gonna know the name, and you gonna know the name one way or another.
Right.
And there's a one way right now that they're knowing the name. I told you the other day, there was a girl, I went to some random party. Hadn't seen the girl since freshman year. It was, she's French. I can't remember where she's from. Shout out to her if she's listening. I doubt that. But, and she came up and she's like, B-L-A-C-K to the B. You know, see, and she's speaking, I think it's French that she's speaking at some point. But she's talking to her friend. She don't even know, but she, I'm like, you probably don't even remember we had class together or whatever, but you just know me right
shout
now.
Out based off of the shout performance. Out to you. For
and she's like, yo, like, it is so epic. I was listening to it, like, da-da-da. And I'm like, wow, like, I really appreciate it. And I genuinely hold those moments close to me. So that was a mouthful, but I say all that to say, like, it's been one of the most meaningful of experiences to perform, and it's fun. I have fun doing it. It doesn't become a, like, oh my God, yeah, I have to perform. Oh my God, like, yeah, I get those jitters the same way as well too, but I'd be hyped. I'd be ready to go see a crowd. I'd be ready to, Ibiza, fun, so damn fun. You know what it was to do a whole thing with a whole live band and have everybody, you know,
400
to
have, plus audience.
To be running around the whole dang thing while and doing choreography, all of these things, like having a whole set of choreo, having a whole band here, making sure everybody get their solos,
dancing with models,
going around the crowd, getting the crowd to, like, it's all, y'all are all a part of the show, and I always say that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a lot.
Well, I think I would say that the Georgetown experience, at least this year, it would not have been what it was for a lot of people with that, some of your performances.
You think so?
Wow. Oh, I know so. And that's why, obviously, both of you know, we go to a school where creativity is not, that's not really what we're known for. Maybe. Nor is it what's celebrated here.
Yeah.
But I think having seen, you know, Abe, and having seen you, Black Boy Infinity, you all sort of create sort of these experiences and these spaces on campus where we can really consume great art and amazing music, especially live music.
Yeah.
It's been a wonderful experience for me, and it's something that I'm grateful for, and that I've gotten to even witness that this year. Abe, you know, man, every time I go to yours, I'm gonna start crying in tears.
Three little birds.
I'm getting emotions. I'm like, who do I need? I'm like, yo, what babe do I need to hit up I need to hit up a babe right now, because I'm all in my feelings right now. But that is amazing of that experience that you all create. And you all have created on campus, and I honestly, I believe this wholeheartedly that, you know, there's definitely a legacy that you are living on this campus.
Yeah.
That for a lot of the newer students
and even alum, I forgot to mention that it is so crazy to have people from like 2017, 2018 following me now.
Yeah,
and amazing. Just watching this, because that means that this either was not there when they were there, or they're seeing something shift in the culture and they have to be present as it's happening. And that was also something for me that was crazy. But yeah, continue.
So as we're really, you know, we're getting close to the end of this interview, but as we're closing out the interview, but also as we're getting close to releasing the album, which by the time this this episode is released, the album will already be out.
Yep. Go stream that.
First, I'll start with Abe. What should people expect based off your experience of producing this album, engineering it? What should people expect from this project when they listen to it?
I feel like Black Boy, Mr. Infinity.
Oh my God.
He's already said it. He's already said it a lot. It's just like it's going to be a real story. Yeah. It's like getting. It's like almost if you got to read someone's diary, but like with the whole production behind it.
Right.
You know, like that's the experience.
That's amazing.
So it's gonna be, I think it's going to be a very, if you know DeJuan, I think it becomes even better.
Yeah.
Like it's even deeper of a story because you know the person. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know DeJuan, it's so much good music already that it's like enough to make you want to listen more and kind of learn.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what do you want people to take out of this?
To stop playing with me. Nah, I'm just.
Yo, stop telling my motherfucking name.
Stop playing with me. You see what's going on. No, but I want people to. There's a number of things, of course, but I guess to keep it short, I want people to reckon with what Unprovoked Promises mean, right? And I'm not gonna delve into that because that's what the album is for. I want people to be able to come to their own conclusions about understanding these Unprovoked Promises, whether they are complicit in, you know, or enablers, or even just a part of like the problem, or, you know what I'm saying? Because we all play a role to some degree in those Unprovoked Promises. I want people to think about what role they play in that. So that's one. Two, I want people to see how the ways in which you could tell these stories are endless. I could use it through a skit. I could use it through an interlude or conversation of me talking. I could do it through drill. I could do it through, you know what I'm saying? I could do it through me singing. And, you know, I want people to realize the experiment, the versatility, of course. That's one thing I always want people to realize, but I also want people to realize, like, there's experimentation behind this as well too. There's a lot of things I had to grow comfortable with doing while storytelling and growing out of my comfort zone while telling these stories, because, you know what I'm saying, like, if I don't grow more comfortable with telling these stories, I can't tell you what will happen with these stories as they like fester. And so I had to find newer ways in which I can understand these stories, and that goes with me exploring my experimentation and exploring the fluidity of my versatility. So that's one. That's another one. And collaboration, how big it is to just have community amongst you when you're going through these things, when you're coming to these realizations, whether you hit a collaboration through the music, through the conversation, the dialogue. That's why I said Lauryn Hill was another big inspiration to how I curated and crafted this, because I want people to see that there's dialogue in between this. Like, this is an actual
Shout
conversation.
Out
Shout out to Lauryn Hill. Everybody knows Lauryn Hill is literally the great. You know what I'm saying? So I want people to be mindful of that. And then also, is the final thing as well too, there's many more, but also to take away from this is have fun while you're telling these stories. Not all stories have to be like, you know what I'm saying? It can be the emotional, and that's the thing. You can have a pulled up moment, or you can have a mind made up moment, or you can have a Camp Lazlo. Why are you going out your way to lie about this, that, and the third, foe? You know what I'm saying? Versus a came looking for a good time. Why you lie telling me that you good vibes? Like, come on now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could have all of that while still saying the same damn thing. Ain't that crazy? You know what I'm saying? You could be in a party over here talking about this person did me crazy. But it's just still like, you know, you overpromise and underperform, stupid motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So I want people to be able to see that storytelling, don't be afraid of it. Like, there's ways in which you can become comfortable with it. There's ways in which you can make peace with the discomfort of it.
Yeah.
Whatever type of comfort there is in it, whether it's the dis in it or the regular comfort, make peace with it and find ways in which you can make peace with it. So there's all of that.
Well, folks, there you have it. I know this is Afrobanta Beats, you know, where we normally speak about and talk about Afrobeats and the African music. But, you know, we do have a Nigerian on, and so, of course, how could we not have him on? I did this interview because it's a beautiful project, and it's one that I want all of you who listen to this podcast to really listen to it and enjoy it. And it's been an honor of mine. I'm sitting in on some of the studio sessions of you and Abe, and just getting to listen to just the creative process, and you'll put this project together, and just seeing sort of the confusions you've had, the complexities of how do we do this, I don't know how I feel about this, I don't know about singing on this, all this stuff. Yeah. Just seeing all of that, that whole entire process has been a beautiful thing for me to witness. And I thank you all for trusting me to have you on, sort of on the pod and, intrude in some of the studio sessions.
It's, can I just also say too, how fun it is to have you like document these things and like provide these platforms to like further continue the conversations as well too. Like this is very important. Like it's not even just like, oh, of course to big you up, but to tell you like, this is needed.
Yep.
In the archive.
Yeah.
And this is something like, I don't care how many listeners it gets or whatever the case is. If this is something that becomes, you could have the two listeners, whether that's me and Abe, you could have 2 million listeners, whether that's across the world, it's in the archive.
Right.
And once that shit is in the universe, it remains in the universe. Right. Of course, with the with like the advancement of just like technology today, this will forever live on. Mm-hmm. This is a moment in history. And who knows, this moment in history is a powerful ass moment. And you curated that space by providing this space and moment for us to do this. So I just want you to be mindful of like how big that is, whether you play a fly on the wall or whether you play a bee inside the room stinging.
Sometimes motherfuckers need to be sing.
Either you the fly on the wall, either you the fly on the wall minding your business, or you to be in the room doing the stinging. Choose your poison. I just want you to.
No, but thank you all. No, it's truly an honor. So everybody, make sure you go and listen to "Unprovoked Promises" by Black Boy Infinity on all streaming platforms.
Yeah.
And definitely hope you all enjoy. I know I will. Again. Thank you, Black Boy Infinity, for being on.
Can I just
on.
Also
thank you, Abe, as well.
Extend my deepest gratitude, of course, to everybody involved on this project. Shout out to everybody that played a role, but also to, of course, once again, Abe the Kid, for trusting me, for allowing me to be in collaboration and community with him in a way that we haven't been able to establish our relationship until we've been able to create this space of trust and vulnerability for one another in terms of our own craft and art, but also with storytelling and also like growing and understanding each other through this lens and scope. Like Abe, I live down the block from Abe, but to be able to like just have these little moments where we tell stories, you know how fun it is. You know how sad I would be when it's time for me to go because I have to go do something and I'm leaving out of a session and I'm like, damn, like we would be on a high.
For real.
And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go do this. And I'm like, damn. He's like, wait, no, like, and I'm like, no, I literally can't. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like how good it feels to just have those moments. I said, if there's anything I can leave out with college, if there's anything I don't leave out of college with, that's something I will always keep dear to me of just like, that's a moment in time that I can never, that I'll always be grateful for. You know what I'm saying? So.
It's mutual, yeah.
Wow.
It's a beautiful process.
It's a process.
It's the best part about it.
Yeah. People don't get to see that. People don't get to see the behind the scenes sometimes. And I just want people, anybody who hears this to know that.
Well, folks, Unprovoked Promises, streaming platforms, make sure you check it out. Thank you so much, Abe, and thank you as well, Black Boy Infinity, for being on Afrobunta Beats with Bobby Nishimwe. All right, thank you, folks.